Sativa or indica? I listen how much I know about weed. All I know is like edibles.
How do you not know about weed?
Because I smoked weed in high school, but that was before like you didn't pay attention to what it was then. People just handed you pot, like a joint, and you smoked it. And then I do edibles when people give them to. I basically just when people hand me drugs, I do it, but I don't ever buy it. So like I don't know what I'm doing. I just take it and do it. But I
And
do
luckily,
know.
people hand you drugs all the time.
Yes, it's nice to have a vagina.
But people never really handed me drugs because they probably think I'm like some goody two shoes.
What? No. Well, then they don't follow you. People that just see you in
I
public.
just mean just in general, like in life, like
Yeah, they see
in
Asian
high
and
school. Well, I was a big dork in high school, but yeah, like I never smoked weed in high school.
Really? Well, I
Yeah.
was a theater. We had like a theater program in my high
Oh,
school.
that's
Yeah, and I
awesome.
was in that. So that was like the stoners, you know? But I wasn't really a stoner, but everyone else was. So there's just a lot of weed around.
Oh,
So that's how
cool.
I started.
Oh, I was in choir and band.
No way. I
Yeah.
was in band until my mom let me quit. My mom made me be in band for
Did you
like,
play the flute?
no, but my mom did. I played the clarinet.
Oh, you
I
did?
fucking hated it. I hated it. I hated the way that wood felt on my tongue, which is ironic now. But I always felt like I was gonna get splinters on my tongue playing the. What did you play?
I played the oboe.
Oh, so it's the same thing. It's like that reed.
It's not the same thing.
It's not? I thought
No.
it was the same reed.
No.
Oh.
The oboe is a double reed, and it's like you have to. I was carving out my own reeds. Like,
What?
I was like making my own
Shut up. You're like
reeds.
whittling your own.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I brought a knife to school and a cutting block. I had a whole kit.
The only person who could get away with bringing a knife to school is a band nerd. Like
Yeah.
you could never have been like one of the kids in my theater program bringing weed and knives into the school, but you're like sitting there
I
whittling
got away
reeds.
with it. That was before metal detectors and
Oh
everything.
my
But
God.
nowadays, they'd be like, hey, you oboe player,
Yeah, they would see
what are you
your
doing with this little knife?
They would think there's a gun in your oboe case, probably. I could never, I hated band, and my family was so poor, and my mom still made me be in band because she was like convinced that band would keep me out of jail. Like she was convinced if I was in the band, I would be a
Yeah.
good child.
Oh, wow.
But she was not right.
I mean, it is true. A lot of band kids like do stay out of trouble.
I
They're
became
like
a.
dorks.
They are.
Well, I should say we're dorks.
Well, I was in it too. Yeah, I was. And now my nephew's in it and he loves it. I shouldn't. It's great if you love it. Where I was, this is weird, but the town I was from, the high school marching band was like famous in the whole state. No joke. Because for some reason, our marching band had like 600 kids in it. It was the biggest marching band in the state, even though the school wasn't that big. Everyone was in band. So it was actually not like as nerdy as in a lot of places. So when I got in the band, because my mom made me, I was a terrible student. I was always getting in trouble, but I was like, I'm gonna run for band officer. Like, I'm gonna be like the band secretary. And I think I was a sophomore. And as a joke, I ran. And I would
And you
like,
won.
and I won. Yeah. And then everyone was pissed when I mean, the people that really loved band were like so
They're like,
angry when I
she's
won.
like 20th chair clarinet player. She's
Seriously.
just pretty, so she won.
I wasn't even pretty. I was like the ugliest kid, but I would make just jokes at the meetings, and I would come high, and I would make posters that said things like, if I'm nominated, like keggers at my place Friday night. Like I really was just, I did it as a total joke and I won.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but then I had to
Well,
do
because
it.
you have charisma. Some of
Well,
these
thank you.
clarinet players probably were just complete duds, you know?
Yeah, right. Clarinet players are not usually known for
Their
keggers and
personality.
charisma,
No,
maybe.
not at
I'm
all.
glad that we've started this out by completely knocking band geeks, clarinet players, people that care about running for office.
But
And
we're included in
yes.
that bunch. So that's completely fine with me, you know?
I never would have come to LA for the first time if I wasn't in band because we took a band trip here when
Oh,
I
really?
yeah, when I was a sophomore, we played in the Rose Bowl parade.
No
That was my
way.
first time ever in LA.
Oh,
Isn't that
wow.
nuts? And I remember coming out here and thinking, you know, when you come to LA, how you think everything, like you think Hollywood is going to be beautiful. And you think, like, I thought Venice Beach was going to have like Baywatch babes running down it. And then you get there and it's literally like Venice Beach is like a dumpster on a boardwalk, basically. I mean, I love Venice now that I live here. But as a
And
kid,
you're one of the homeless people on the boardwalk.
more or less, yeah. I mean, I rode here on a, I'm like knocking Venice. I rode here like 30 miles on a bike.
No, and same thing with New York. You think New York is going to be Sex in the City, and you see these dumb Midwestern girls bringing like a suitcase full of dresses and heels to New York, thinking they're going to get hit on and meet Mr. Big.
Oh God!
And right. it's all homeless people and crackheads.
Or you walk like you come with like your heels, which by the way, like no one who lives in New York can afford Manolo Blahniks. Like I don't know those girls on Sex in the City. I'm like that one pair of shoes is like 3 months of rent.
That basically. Show just ruined New York City,
right?
Now, like, all these girls, like, move there. And I'm like, I moved here before the gold rush.
Yeah, and who the fuck takes cabs in New York? You can't take... They took cabs everywhere. And then they wore those... If I wore the heels they wore in New York City, my feet would be bleeding after, like, two blocks.
No, you have to take your flip-flops with you everywhere.
Yeah. Yes.
And look like... Whatever. You don't care what you look like.
And then it's embarrassing when you're walking around, like, a five-star restaurant wearing heels and holding a pair of sweaty flip-flops.
Being like, can I use your bathroom? But you don't even ask. You learn how to ask to use the bathroom without giving away that you're not going to eat there. You're like, I'm meeting a friend here.
Oh, right. I know. It is funny trying to find a bathroom in New York City is the worst. There's nowhere to go. Hotels. You got to go to hotels.
You got to go to the second floor of hotels.
Is that the secret? The second floor.
They don't have it so easily accessible. Or the basement.
The basement? How do you even get to the basement? You have to work
like
there.
Like the Pennsylvania Hotel or the New Yorker Hotel, you go in the basement, man.
That's hilarious. You show up with like a bucket and like gloves, like you're one of the maids, and you just change into it to go downstairs.
But you just got to act like you're already checked in.
Yeah.
Because it's always different shifts.
Yeah, and a lot of checked-in people hang out in the basement.
That's why it's good to work like jobs. That's why it's good to work jobs where like you know the ins and out of shit. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I used to work at a dentist's office just because I was curious, like, how people act at a dentist's office.
What, like, the people that work there? You just
no,
want,
like,
or do you mean people
like
coming in with their teeth?
As a customer, like, what am I supposed to do as a customer when I do get my teeth cleaned?
That's hilarious. I could never work in a dentist's office. I just think that having to, like, clean people's teeth would be the most...
Well, I didn't clean their teeth. I was a receptionist.
All right. I guess that's okay. I don't even want to be around it, though. I just feel like that is the grossest... I would honestly rather be a gynecologist.
Or proctologist.
Yeah, like, people's mouths are disgusting. I mean, yeah. I guess their assholes are, too, a lot. But I mean, like, I feel like when they're cleaning your teeth, there's just so much, like, stuff flying.
I would love to be an ear doctor.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I like looking in ears.
That would be kind of interesting. I've never really seen an eardrum.
It's not as gross. It's not as gross as a mouth or a butthole.
Most likely.
But ears are important, so.
I would argue that ears are more important than buttholes.
Ear, nose, and mouth doctor.
Yeah, EMT. Ear, nose, and throat.
Ear, nose, and throat.
Same thing. Ear, nose, and mouth. Yeah, mouth. Yeah, I think that an ear is usually probably the cleaner of the three cavities.
Yeah.
Between mouth and
butthole. I don't know. I do see a lot of disgusting ears. Like, a lot of people don't take care of their ears.
It is gross because, like, I don't know about you, but I like when guys go after my ears. You know, like, I like when guys, like, nibble on my ear, lick my ear, suck on my ear, whatever. But, and I would feel really guilty if there was, you know, some wax coming out.
Well, it is a sensuous zone, isn't it?
I think it's one of the ones. I want to actually study that because I feel like there's a lot that we're missing, that I'm missing. Do you know what I mean? The erogenous zones. That's
yeah.
it. I think it's an
probably
erogenous
like
zone.
Neck.
Neck for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's
toes.
Obvious. That's what I mean. I think like the arches of your feet are one. I think there's some that people
but who
just
has
miss.
Time for that? Right? Just go for the gold, man.
No, I get mad when they go for the gold. I really do. I get angry. It depends. If it's my boyfriend, that's one thing. But like, the guys I see usually don't want to see me more than once a week. So I'm like, if you're only going to fuck me once a week, I need you to make it an event.
Yeah.
It needs to be like, I need to feel like I had a spa day.
Right.
You know what I mean? It sucks when it's too quick.
Yeah.
I complained to a guy the other day. I just say it now. I'm not even nice anymore. The other day, I hooked up with a guy. And it was all right. It was good. But afterwards, he was like, so how was the sex? He asked. And I'm like, if you ask, I'm going to tell you. And
wow, who asks?
I know. I think he was trying to be kind of like funny or something. And I was like, you know, it was okay.
He was fishing for a compliment is what he was doing. Was he surprised when you like knocked him down?
Yes. I said, it was good. It was a little quick. And he was like, bitch. He was offended. And I was like, well. You know, we haven't fucked in 2 weeks, and I just think that for every week you go without fucking me, I should get at least, like, 20 minutes in bed. So that means a 40-minute.
And you feel like you should just put on a timer, because in a guy's head, they think they were like going down on you forever.
Right?
And then in your head, you're like, no, I know the actual time.
Exactly. And I also know my capacity for orgasms.
Like when we started this Black Mirror episode, it was at 2 minutes, 32 seconds. And now it's only 5 minutes.
100%. I'm like, listen, I sat through like this whole fucking baseball game you wanted me to watch. It's boring as fuck. So now you owe me like 7 innings of sex.
You know, what somebody told me is that lesbian couples are actually have the highest rated sex life than any other kind of couple.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Like, they are just more, they're just coming more, and they're just happier because, like, guys don't give a shit. Guys just want to come.
I know.
You just want to finish themselves. Whereas women, we're always taking care of other people.
I have been with guys that really, truly get off on getting you off. Like, almost enjoy it more. Like, I actually dated a guy for a while who he really didn't care that much about coming. And you could tell he'd fucked a ton of women. So he was just like, he got off on kind of like the competition aspect of like, how hard can I get you off? So now I kind of learned from him. I make it like a competition for the guy as quickly as possible. Like, as soon as I can, I let the guy know, like, I come easily and I can come like 20, 30 times if you're good. Like, I kind of dangle that out there.
Yeah.
So then the guy feels like if he doesn't get me off a whole bunch of times, he didn't live up to the other guys. So I
you're
set
like
them
a
up.
Pinball machine. And there's like 20, 30 spots where you can line up and get points.
Yeah. That's what I try to do. You want to be the highest scorer.
Yeah.
I wish I could get tickets to, like, come out of my ass, like Dave and Buster's.
Like a
and they
Chuck
got
E.
a prize.
Cheese.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
We're both from the Midwest.
Where are you from?
Chicago.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I went to college there.
Where?
I went to Roosevelt, which is, like, downtown Michigan Avenue.
No way.
Where'd you
Why'd you go to Roosevelt?
Because they have a really good theater conservatory, and I got a scholarship there.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yeah. In fact, that school is weird because it's, like, pretty much it's adult commuters who go there, and then they have, like, a theater and music program that are awesome. So I went there.
Wow.
Yeah. What about you? I didn't know
I went to U of I.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, where'd you grow up? In
Rogers Park and then...
Shut up.
Yeah.
I don't know if we ever talked about this. My first...
We never.
I had a condo in Rogers Park.
You did?
Yeah, like right by...
You're fancy.
Well, I was married.
Might have been my old apartment.
You lived in it. How funny would that be? I did rent it out for like a year because we bought it. So I was married. So after college, my first year out of college, of course, I was like, we should buy a place. We're wasting money on rent. We bought a condo. And then like 6 months later, I was like, I don't really want to live in Chicago. I want to live in LA.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going. So I just kind of packed up my car and left. I left my ex in Chicago. I'm like, you
guys were still married?
We were
and you
still
just
married.
Left him?
Well, I didn't just leave him. I was like, come visit. But yeah, more or less. I think I already had 1 foot out the door a little in the marriage at that point. So I came out here and he stayed there for
Why
6 months.
Why did you get married? What were you thinking?
I was 19, so I wasn't thinking that much.
Were you Amish? What the hell?
I know.
19?
It's so funny you're saying this. I literally do like so much time about this on stage because everyone asks like the same questions. Are you Amish?
No,
are
I think
crazy?
I've seen this. Yeah.
I basically just... I was in love with him. I really was, but I was young. You know when you're young, your first love?
Yeah, you're a baby.
Yeah. I think I felt like the, you know, those kids in like the vampire movies that think it's like eternal love.
Aw.
And then also like he was from a really conservative family, so there was like some pressure when I got the scholarship, like, oh, you guys are going to live together in Chicago, like not married. So there was just all this, I don't know, I just did it. But I remember the day I got married in the back of my mind being like, this probably isn't a good idea.
Yeah.
Like, I knew.
Everybody says that.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone... I'm so curious if anyone has ever gotten married and been sure. I don't know anyone who's ever been sure.
Like, every autobiography you read of every celebrity is like, and then I got married, and part of me was thinking, why am I doing this?
Yeah. I mean, I have two friends who are getting married right now, and both of them have called me and been like, I'm just not sure. I'm like, I don't think anyone is ever sure. I don't know why anyone
How
does
How can
it.
You lock down the rest of eternity?
Right? I can't even lock down this week yet.
Yeah.
Like, really, I don't know. I don't know. Like, in hindsight, I should never have done it. And I felt guilty.
But did you have to, like, pay a lot to get a divorce? Because that happens to a lot of girls.
I was so lucky because my ex-husband is such a good dude that once we realized it was done, he was like, I'll take care of everything. And he really did. He did everything. What? But I also didn't take him for any money.
Yeah.
Like, he made a lot more than me. And I was like, I'm not going to try to take half your money because you, like, I'm the one that really wanted out. And I was the one that was like, kind of a shitty spouse. I mean, I never cheated, but I was like, always like kind of
looking for a way out.
Yeah. I was just never sure I wanted to be married from jump. And he was such a good, great guy. So at the end it was sort of like, okay, I'm not going to try to clean you out. Just give me the car and half of what we own. And that was that.
When I was 19, I went out with this guy who's an Ayn Rand enthusiast.
A what?
An Ayn Rand. You know Ayn Rand, the author of The Cloud, the Atlas?
Yeah.
It's like that whole philosophy is based on selfishness and capitalism. It justifies capitalism.
Mm.
So he was just, their whole foundation of their living was just be selfish. And for me, I grew up completely opposite.
Yeah.
I grew up, live a life of sacrifice, give your life up for God, be a servant of God. Like, I wish I could just go back in time and be like, what was I doing with him?
Oh, like, I know.
Here he's, like, literally living by this, like, be selfish and just take what you can for yourself.
Yeah.
And
you stayed with him.
Yeah.
You were probably just attracted to him because he was so the opposite of everything that was ingrained in you. And it was, like, something different.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe.
We just met in a ping pong. Like, like we were just playing ping pong. Like, if you're in college and you want an Asian girlfriend, just go play ping pong until some girl comes
by. Hilarious. You're like, it wasn't that deep. We were just, no, Kate, it was ping pong. We were playing beer pong, actually. It was beer pong.
You know, and we went out, and I remember, like, when you're 19, you just, I don't know, he's just, what 19-year-old guy knows how to, like, treat a girl? To begin with, right?
Or how to fuck?
No, I mean, and he was a nice guy. I'm not trying to knock him or anything. And he was really smart. But I just remember, like, he was just clueless. Like one time, he got me like this weird gift for my birthday. It was like one of those centerpieces in a living room for like if you have a house, you know.
What he got you a centerpiece like to put on your coffee table?
Yeah, like it just made no sense. Like, I was just like, what am I gonna do with this?
What was this guy like? Was he white? Was he Asian?
He's
black?
Like Italian.
He was Italian? What did he do? He was in college. In college also.
Yeah.
See, my ex-husband was much older than me. He was like, well, not much, but I mean, he's like 6 years older than me, which when you're 19
That's
is a lot.
A lot, yeah.
Yeah, so he at least had kind of already like dated some and was kind of like, you know, knew how to treat women, but I didn't know how to treat a guy. I was a horrible wife. Now I'm a good, loyal chick, but it took a long time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Who makes a good wife at 19?
No one. I don't know if I'd make a good wife now. I don't want to get married again. Do you want to get married?
No, I've always been against marriage just because I was supposed to have an arranged marriage. So I've always been like very anti-marriage. Like I'm independent.
Yeah.
I'll do my own thing, but now I'm like, I don't know, I am kind of broke.
Like, oh,
marriage,
my God.
No, but I still wouldn't want it. You know, I would be like you. I would jump ship with one foot out the door.
I mean, the thing is, like, it's weird because I do kind of like, whenever I meet someone that I really like, I think I want to be in a relationship, but then whenever it starts to get too serious, I panic. So I don't know if that's just our generation. Like, we're so geared to, like, everything changes so fast and there's just always a better option around the corner for everything, or if it's just that I am damaged. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, but I really like this guy that I've been seeing, but every time it starts to feel...
I think you just don't want to be a homebody. And like when you think of wife, you think you're a homebody, you're a housewife.
Yeah, maybe that's part of it.
And I'm sure there are people who are married and they're not homebodies. There are women who do shit. But
yeah, that's
in our
true.
Head, we just like equate that with the stereotype of like, well, I don't want to be stuck at home and miserable and I don't get to go do my shows and speak my mind and get things off my chest.
Also, I'm kind of like a guy a little bit in the sense that like, let's say I'm dating you and I'm really into you, but then, you know, I run into Brad Pitt. I want the option. Do you know what I mean? Like, I want to have
he's
the Brad Pitt
now,
option. But maybe not Brad, but whoever, you know,
right?
Like, I'm just saying, like, if Brad is like, listen,
you want the freedom.
I would just want the freedom to be like able to go, all right, yeah, I can have a cocktail with you, Brad. Sure. Well, like, I just don't want to feel like I'm not allowed.
Yeah.
But not many.
Cut to you at 50 years old, like, I just wish I would have gotten married.
I know, right? I know. Because that's the difference between men and women. Like, guys just get better with age until... I mean, look at this whole thing with Harvey Weinstein that's going on. Have you been reading about this at
all? Yes. He jerked off in a potted plant.
Yeah.
Oh, I read your tweet on it.
Dude.
That was so funny. It's so true, though.
Thank you. I mean, the thing is, there's so many things I think about it. Because you work in this business just like I do. I have had so many... executives, producers, agents, so many guys, like I have a great meeting with them and then a day or two later they ask me out. And it is a weird line that we walk as women in this business of like, well, if I say no, is he never gonna want to work with me?
If I say yes, do I have a better chance?
But do I have to fuck him?
Securing my whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really awkward, you know? And so, and I have made the decision consciously at times to like, I've never hooked up with someone for a job or like gone out with someone because I knew it could lead to a job. But then in my head, I'm like, why not?
But then you think that there are all these other women who wish they had the opportunity to suck some executive's dick for a job.
That's what I'm saying. Right? And then
right? And you're here having all the integrity in the world.
And no work.
And no work.
And no work. And I'm fucking losers. You know what I mean? I've fucked guys for dinner at fucking Fridays before. So I'm like, why? Like, part of me is like, jealous that Harvey Weinstein didn't give me the opportunity to watch him jerk off in a potted plant. I'd watch him jerk off all day for an Oscar.
I'd be jerking off right there with him, you know, being like, let's see who can squirt farther.
Yeah, and it sucks that he used his position of power. But at the same time, like, every guy in Hollywood does it. Every
guy. It's like, that's why they get into the business.
Yes, that's
because
the whole reason.
Because that's where all the hot women are.
Right. And then it's like Harvey Weinstein. These guys know when they're 70 years old, nobody's fucking them for any reason except they're Harvey Weinstein. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the only way he's getting fucked at 70 years old by a hot woman. So that's why he came in the first place to do this. But I'm not... It's a touchy subject because women will get angry for being like, it's not.
They look at us like, if we say this and take this stance, that we're anti-women.
Right. And the thing is, it's like, I've never done it, but I mean, it's I've only never done it because in the back of my mind, I thought it would create more problems because I feel like, what if I catch feelings for Harvey? And then that blows up in my face. Like, that's the only reason.
I've never done it just out of like oblivion, I feel like. Like, I was an extra in some movie about Wall Street or something in New York, and Oliver Stone was directing it, and he has a major Asian fetish.
It's not too late. Let's tweet at him right now.
And we were shooting a scene in the New York City subway, and the wardrobe lady like picked a couple of us to dress us up. So I usually dress like jeans and sneakers, t-shirt, whatever. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
But this wardrobe lady put me in heels and a like fancy dress. Like, I looked like a fancy commuter, like going to Wall Street, right? And Oliver Stone came up to me and started talking to me.
No.
And he just asked me, like, what's your heritage? And I said, I'm Korean. And I don't know if I knew. I mean, I guess I knew who he was, but I also just didn't have... I was just in the mindset of being an extra.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking, like, oh, this is my ticket out. I could, you know...
Oh.
I could go have a drink with him. What's the harm in having a fucking drink with the guy?
Right?
I had my cards on me. I could have just given him my card and then he could have emailed me.
Dude.
Right? But I didn't. And then I remember like walking away and all the grips were like, you know who that was, right? And I'm like, yeah.
Ugh.
But I didn't do anything.
And now you regret, like, listen, I fucked up so bad. I had a meeting not even that long ago. This is a few months ago. I had this like run. I was complaining about it, actually. I don't think I did on here, but I had a meeting a few months ago where I had just had a run of meetings where the guys kept asking me out. And it was like a joke between my manager and agent because I was like, every fucking meeting I go to in LA, 2 days later, the guy will ask me out. Not proposition me for sex, but just ask me to get a drink or hang out. And it's
through your manager?
No, they would like email me or get my contact info and then hit me up after. So I had this meeting with a president of a major network, and a couple days later, he emailed me and said, hey, I had a really great time meeting you. Why don't we grab a drink this week? Or I'm having this party at my house. You should come. And it was just the worst timing because I had literally just gotten hit on by like four dudes in a row that I had meetings with, and I was so fucking irritated. So instead of doing a smart thing and saying, sure.
Like, what's like a harmless drink?
What's the harm
drink?
In a drink or going to a party at his house? It's nothing. It's nothing. I could have brought a girlfriend, you know?
Right.
Instead, I wrote back and said, oh, I regret this.
Oh,
so
my
much.
God. What did you write?
I wrote back and said, hey, yeah, that'd be great. Just as long as you know it's only as friends, because guys that I go to meetings with always ask me out, and it's really starting to become
uncomfortable. And you look like a big bitch.
Crazy person and a bitch. Yeah. And then, of course, he wrote back and was like, oh, yeah, of course, only as friends. LOL. I told you I'm kind of new in town. Okay, cool. I'll hit you back to set up a time. And then, of course, like, he never did. And then I never got
because
work.
Because he's like, fuck her. Who the fuck does she think she is?
Yes.
Everybody's asking her out.
Right. And then I felt like a fucking loser for bringing it up. But then I'm like, I was just annoyed because it kept happening. But now, in hindsight, I'm like, it was so stupid of me. I should have gone to a drink with him. But what if then the next step was he was like, oh, you know, before we get drinks, why don't we go up to my room and I'll show you the poster for this show.
And
I
then,
think
but
it, whatever.
It's up to you to draw those boundaries while you're there. If
yes.
he says, come up to my room, and you'll say, you know what, I'm going to call it an early night and go home.
Yeah.
And big deal. So he actually probably will respect you more.
And want you more and keep trying, which is kind of the one thing with the Harvey Weinstein thing that, like, this is going to, like, probably stir some shit up. But part of me is like, okay, like, we're not equal with men. We want to be equal with them. Yes, they make more for certain things. Yes, they're in a position of power sometimes that they can, like, use, you know, like Harvey Weinstein using his power to try to fuck women. But we also have the power of, we know they want that. And we're the ones in charge of drawing the boundaries. So it's not going to go away. It's
yeah.
not like they can push out Harvey Weinstein. There will be a next Harvey Weinstein who's using his power to try to fuck you. So you can play the game and dangle it out there and never do it for as long as you can and flirt. Or you can do what I did and shut the door completely and be unemployed riding a fucking bicycle from Hollywood to Koreatown. So I say play the game.
Ever heard of Chelsea Handler?
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
I mean, and we don't know.
Here maybe. We are getting opportunities and we're just throwing them away. Like, I'm so sick of everybody just asking me out.
Right?
Yeah.
And also, we don't know. Maybe Chelsea liked that guy. I'm not saying that she wasn't fucking him partly for her career, but maybe she also liked him. Maybe Harvey is a fun fuck. You know, maybe ties bitches up and fucking whips them and chokes them out and
I
shit.
I mean, it's not like he was drugging them and raping them unconscious.
That's what I say. He didn't rape anybody. He said, hey, do you mind if I take a bath in front of you while we talk about this movie idea?
Like, I'd be offended if some big movie executive didn't try to do that. I'd be like, you don't think I'm hot?
Yeah, if you have a reputation for trying to fuck all the women that you put in your films, and then you don't try to fuck me, then I'll probably get, honestly, a little butthurt.
Yeah.
Knowing
like,
me.
He must think I'm ugly.
Yeah, I'm depressed that I've been fucking the wrong people in this town.
Well,
that's
the
really
next,
what
the next time some guy, you have a meeting, just go out with him. What's the harm?
I'm going to hit that guy up. It's been a few months. And I'm going to say,
no,
hey.
No, you can't.
Why?
The time has passed.
All right.
You like, he hates you. He's like, this fucking cunt.
Maybe you're right.
You know? But it is a fine line. It's hard because you don't want to, like, lead them on into thinking, I'm interested in you. But they also know that you're not interested in them, that they have to win you over.
Yeah, and also, you know, in like, if it's a guy that I think is actually really into me that's trying to date me and court me, then I don't want to lead him on and be rude. But if it's a guy that's using his position to get stupid, like, extras to let him finger bang them in a fucking porta potty in the back of the set, then I think in that case, if you're smart enough to pull one over on them, good for you.
Yeah,
you
why
know?
Don't we be the ones to drug them?
Good call. Well, I'm not sure that would get us jobs.
No,
let's start raping Hollywood executives.
We drug them and we use their thumb to like activate their phone and send emails while they're unconscious, knocked out in the hotel.
You know what? I'll do that with you. We can be like vigilantes.
Oh my God, we should do that.
We should offer threesomes, a fetish.
Or we should write a movie where we do that.
We just gave away our movie idea. Can we edit this out?
The first week that I started stand-up, actually, like, the week I had a show, like, I took a stand-up comedy class in Boston, and, like, my graduation show was that Saturday, but I went to the comedy studio in Boston in Cambridge to check out, like, a comedy show beforehand, and Gary Goldman was there.
Oh, I love him.
And he asked me out. And
no way.
Here's a date fail for you, right?
Oh, God.
I had just started stand-up. Like, that was, like, my first week. I was, like, so excited. And then here was this, like, hot comedian, like, asking me out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he was hilarious.
He's so funny.
He's so funny.
So funny.
And so he goes, yeah, I'm in L.A. If you ever come out to L.A., let me know. We could go out for dinner. And I was, like, screaming inside. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
If only you knew that you could fuck any male comedian you wanted. Anytime, any day, anytime. But go on.
At that time, I was like freaking out.
Right.
And then I just like was like, I'm gonna go to LA. And I had a job selling pens at the time. And so there was like these NASCAR races that you could sign up for to work because yeah. Sharpie is a sponsor. So I signed up for the one in Fresno, California, so that I could go out with Gary Goldman. So I came out to LA and I called him and I go, hey, you know, you told me to contact you when I'm in LA and I'm here.
Oh my God.
So we go out for lunch and then at the end of lunch, it was great. And then, but then at the end of the lunch, he was like, all right, well, call me when you get back to Boston. I was like, okay. So I call him and he never calls me back. And when you're like 22,
you're pissed.
You're like, what? You don't call me back? But like, I didn't realize like that's just a thing that guys say. It's like, yeah, call me.
They always say that. I hate, this is like one of my hugest pet peeves with guys is they always, and I think they do mean it in the moment. They always say things that they just throw out there like it's nothing. But then in your mind as a girl, you're like, you actually go, oh my God, that's great. He wants to do that with me. And then
I don't know if it's even a guy-girl thing. I think just when you get older, once you've dated, you just throw shit out. Like, yeah, I'll call you next week or call me next week or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe you're right. Like, I hate when I go out with guys and then they drop things they say. Like, they'll talk about some place. They've been be like, oh, my God, I totally have to take you there. It's amazing. Well, I'll take you there. And then in my mind, I go, oh, this guy wants to, like, see me again and he wants to take me to this place. And then if they never take me out again, I'm like, fuck them. Like, I'm still angry. I'm in my 30s and I'm still just as angry as when I was 17 about this shit. Like,
you're only going to get angrier.
Oh, good. It's great.
You can channel that on stage.
I have a Gary Goldman story also, but it's not like a dating story. But it's funny because when I first started doing stand-up, I was in New York one time and I got a guest spot on Comedy Juice at Gotham.
Uh-huh.
And I was nervous because it was my first time ever performing at Gotham, which is like a great club. And it was like a sold-out show and it was a great lineup. And so I think I was supposed to go on third. It was like two comics, then me, then Gary Goldman. And so I'm doing like 10 minutes or whatever. And then I'm nervous as fuck. And Gary Goldman shows up and is like, hey, do you mind if I go up before you? Because I'm doing Conan tomorrow or whatever he was taping at the time. I'm doing Conan tomorrow and I got to run this.
And then you just fell in his arms?
No. I'm like, oh yeah, sure, man. You can go before me. And then of course he goes up and just destroys because he's so funny, kills, and then I have to follow him. I've been doing comedy for like a year or whatever. And then he stays to watch my set. I was in my head, I was like, this fucker said he had to leave. So he went up before me, killed. Then he stayed to watch me. Then I was even more nervous because he was so cute and funny and stuff. And then I did fine, okay, but like nothing compared. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I came off and he was like, oh, great job, great job. And I was just like mortified that he even watched me. But instead I was like, I thought you had to go. And I just remember him being like, oh, yeah, I do. Okay. And then I never talked to him again. So, fuck you, Gary Goldman.
Same here.
And now we both hate you, Gary.
Oh,
Oh, that's so funny, man.
That's so funny.
Oh, yeah. It's hilarious.
Oh, my God.
So, wait. So, are you living now? Are you bi-coastal, basically?
I'm just bi everything.
You're bi everything.
Yeah. So, I'm in L.A. And L.A., I love L.A. because weed is just so, like, on a whole new level here.
That's what I hear from the weed people.
Like, I'm just discovering new shit every week.
I think I need to switch to weed.
I think so.
I'm kind of...
Well, you used to smoke. Why'd you stop?
Because when I smoked in high school, it was making me so lazy. Like, it would make me so lethargic and tired, and then I just kind of stopped. Because
you were probably smoking indicas.
That's what they say.
And you have to find the sativas that are energizing. Like, I love Jack Herrera, and I love Blue Dream. Like, those just get me going.
Blue Dream, Joey Diaz gave me some. I can't remember what it's called, but it was almost like doing coke. I mean, it really kind of gave me a little, like, kick, and I had energy, and I felt creative, and
yeah,
I liked it.
That's the thing about L.A. weed is you could get super specific on what you want it to do for you.
Yeah, we should go to the weed store. Because I don't even have a card. The only time I get weed is when Joey gives it to me. That's really it. He gives it to me.
Joey's the best.
Yeah, when I go to his podcast. And I do eat the Stars of Death to sleep at night, but I eat a bite. I can't eat the whole thing.
I eat a corner.
Yeah, that shit knocks me on my... Yeah, I can only do one corner at a time,
too. I made the mistake of eating multiple edibles with him.
What? On the podcast?
Like, or on just the podcast and just opening for him.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I don't know what I was thinking, but I was just...
Do you know what that motherfucker did?
Out of my mind.
He showed up at the Ice House one night, and he brought me a Quaalude, and he goes, I found this, my last one. I brought it for you. I was like,
I found this.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not fucking taking that. Are you insane? I won't
what
pass
the hell,
out.
What the hell is a Quaalude anyway?
It's like a drug. It's like, it's basically like what Cosby gave to people before he raped.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I was like, I can't fucking take that. I think they're like way illegal now. I don't think they exist anymore.
Oh, my God. You could have fucked Joey Diaz. What were you thinking? Imagine the opportunities that would have opened up. Well, no, but it's true. Like,
imagine the opportunity. See, now that's what I'm talking about. I totally regret it.
These guys who you didn't go on a date with, like, did they hold it against you and, like, not ever bring you in for another opportunity?
Well, like, one of them was so before I had the agent that I have now, who's a good agent, there was an agent, a comedy agent, who's a big agent. He has huge clients, and he came out to LA. We had a meeting. He's in New York, and he was like really into me business wise and I really, really like thought he was. I mean, he knew my work, and maybe he is, maybe he thinks I'm really funny. But then the problem is he started trying to pursue me romantically, and I was so bummed, you know, because I was like, I really want to work with this guy. So I told him, I don't mix business and pleasure. I will never date you while you're in the business, you know, because I just would rather work with you. And then he kept pressuring me. Well, why can't we do both? Why can't we do both? Why?
You should have done both.
I mean, I know. I probably should have. In the end, though, you know what I did? I fucking finally went off on him. I couldn't take it anymore. I went off on him. I actually, like, sent him, like, a message, like, I'm so sick of guys doing this to me. You all do the same shit. Like, now that this Weinstein stuff came out, like, that motherfucker's kind of lucky I don't, like, leak that shit, because he's a really big agent. But then what happened with him is he actually was like, I completely understand. I'm really sorry I made you feel uncomfortable. And then he, at the time, kind of had me hip pocketed, which means he was kind of working with me, but I wasn't signed with him. And he would keep sending me jobs, but I think he was sending me jobs then out of guilt and maybe a little fear.
Yeah.
Because he realized he kind of fucked with the wrong girl. So he did keep sending me work, but most of the other guys just disappear.
Right.
The one guy, the studio exec, like, had me in mind for an actual TV show. And then I fucked up. I should have gone out with him. Please take me back.
Oh, my God. Well, next time that happens, you can. No. But it is tricky because things can end badly, and most of our relationships end badly. So, of course, we're going to say no. We'd rather do business.
But the problem is, look, You've probably fucked comics. I fuck comics. I fucked actors. We're fucking guys at the bottom of the totem pole. These guys can't do shit for us. If you really think about it, we're turning down guys that can help us out of fear that people will think we're the kinds of girls that are fucking our way to the top. And instead, we're just fucking on a plateau.
We're fucking in a cesspool.
Yes.
And just staying at the bottom.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people come out here and this is what happens. Girls meet famous actors and they go, oh my God, if I fuck him, he's on a TV show. He
girls
can probably
look at
get
that
me on his
as
TV
an
show.
Opportunity.
Yes.
And here you are throwing it away.
Yeah, let me tell you that.
And complaining about it.
No talent can get you a job when you're talent. The talent doesn't book the talent. The fucking.
Oh, I know. I have somebody who tweets me like all the time, like, you would be perfect to play the older sister on Modern Family, like the little Asian girl. And he always tweets the other actors. I'm like, that's not who you tweet to try to get me on, but thanks for trying.
That's what I'm saying. But it's like, then I look at the guys I go out with, and they're usually like guys that are like actors and musicians.
Bartenders and waiters.
Porn stars. And yeah.
Door guys.
Chipotle managers. No one that can help me. Although
but
the Chipotle guys
are probably
connect.
Hotter than the guys who are trying to get a, you know,
well, of course,
a little action. That's really
yeah,
why they get so mad and don't take another meeting with you.
We're doing it wrong. That's true. We need to change up our whole whole business plan. Fuck Patreon. What am I doing
with my life? Fuck Patreon. Like, I get $15 from Patreon.
Like, honestly, like, what am I doing?
Right.
You probably have the same problem I have, because you have this, like, fun, dirty, sexy,
right.
social
no,
image.
We have a lot in common.
Yeah.
And it's true. We put ourselves out there a lot, and we do, like, provocative videos or photos, and we post them. And people misconstrue that as, like, we want this sexual attention.
100%. It's so true.
And we're like, just because we're showing our ass crack on Instagram does not give you the
Thank
right
you.
To write these nasty comments.
Yeah. Or it doesn't. It is true. Like, this guy that I was seeing recently was, you know, he was like, I do like you, but I just thought from the way you present yourself that you were just looking for a good time. I didn't think you were looking for something real. And I'm like, just because I
didn't know your career was a real thing you're pursuing.
Right.
They're like, your tits are in every photo.
Yeah. I'm like, dude, just because I make jokes, like even this stuff we're talking about today. I mean, when it came down to it, like, at the end of the day, I have to like the executive to fuck him. I'm not just going to fuck him for the movie.
Yeah.
You got to like him. We're good girls. We're from the Midwest.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
We're from the Midwest.
Yep, that's the problem.
Whereas, like,
if we'd grown up out here, we'd be porn stars for sure.
Oh, my God. Do you think so?
So, I mean, I think I would. I think if I wasn't raised the value system that I had, I would at least have probably been a stripper at some point.
Yeah. I think I would have been, like, a waitress at a strip club.
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
Like, I would still
those
do
girls
that.
Make a lot of money.
Do they?
I
Is anyone
so.
Hiring?
Like, let's go do that.
Can I ride my bicycle to that strip club and wait tables sweaty?
We'll make more than our Patreon makes us.
We should do that, Esther. We should
waitress at a strip club.
Together.
And film it.
Yeah.
You know?
But you can't take cameras in strip clubs.
You can't?
We should do
I'm
that.
I'm sure there's a strip club out there looking for a little publicity, a little bump.
We know what we should do. We should DJ together at a strip club, like one night a week.
Oh, let's do it.
That would be actually
But I
really
would play
fun.
Like oldie songs.
Great. We'll play whatever we want.
Because I hate the music they play at strip clubs.
Perfect. That's what we would do. We would bring our own voice to the strip club. And then, you know, and then on the side, every once in a while, I would go out and dance dressed up as a grandma. And I would strip down to granny panties.
So my favorite is when people email me, they're like, I really appreciate you for the comedy that you do. Like, they're like, I know you're attractive, and I'm not Aww. Trying to hit on you. I really actually think you're really funny, besides.
Right, and then they're like, and also send me a picture of your butthole. No, I know
and
what
also,
you mean.
And also, will you go out with me?
Yeah.
Growing up not popular and growing up looking hideous, like, people always comment that they're like, oh my God, your Instagram followers are so disgusting. Like, they write the creepiest stuff. To me, I don't ever look at it like it's creepy.
Me neither.
I am flattered.
Me too. Totally. 100%.
And like, whereas my regular friends who have like day jobs where they go to an office and there's like an HR lady
yeah.
and stuff, they're just horrified. They're just like, oh my God, look at the nasty stuff that they wrote on her wall.
I love when people are like, every once in a while I get, and by the way, you know what's interesting about this? It's only ever guys that are bothered by the comments, and it's only ever guys that say things like the joke I posted about Harvey Weinstein today, like there were guys that were offended. No women were offended. And I was like, you know, it's funny because I don't think, like when people say you're setting feminism back by posting hot photos or by, you know, showing your ass on a tennis court or whatever. And I feel like it's the complete opposite. Like, I feel like feminism is being empowered and embracing the fact that you can do anything as a woman a guy can do. Like, if
and you're still getting the work and the stage time and the opportunities, yeah, even though you look like this.
Well, thank you. And you are too. It's like, if you were, let's imagine you're a woman who owned a movie production company and, you know, occasionally you had a business meeting in your hotel room.
Let's call her Harriet Weinstein.
You're Harriet Weinstein. And occasionally,
and some hot guy came.
Yeah, some 20-year-old dude wants to be in the movie. And then,
and you're like, let's role play a scene. Let's go over, let's rehearse the sex scene just to make sure, since you're new to this town, let yeah. me walk you through this sex scene.
Yeah, now if you did
over
that.
Over and over and over again.
If you did that now, at this stage.
Imagine the press you would get.
Right? With the way you look right now, people would probably have a problem. You know, they'd go, that's not right, Esther, for you to make that young boy fuck you. But if you were 60 and you did it, people would be like, God bless you. If I was 70 years old and I could get hot 20-year-old guys to fuck me and I was a millionaire and I could help their careers at the same time, I would be posting that shit on my Instagram. I'd be like, here's me fucking this 22-year-old boy at 70.
I wouldn't have guys, them I went fuck too far. Me because I went too far. 20-year-old boys, they don't know how to fuck good. They fuck like they're
all right,
like rabbits.
28.
I would have them like fan me and feed me grapes like I'm some... Like, I'm Eddie Murphy and Coming to America.
Yeah. I hope I can still get young guys when I'm 70.
You will.
That's really what I want.
Well, you exercise. You, like, do all this stuff.
Now.
On your videos. What is that thing you do? Barbizon?
Barboza. Barboza method. It's like Pilates, like in floor ballet. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
All I'm saying is, it's not right what he did, but I just think that, you know, as a woman, I wish that I could have that kind of power. That's all I'm saying, over people.
No, and we can.
You're right. We have the power of the vagina.
You know, don't you think we can in some way?
Actually, I think we have more power than men.
Like, we can collect some open micers right now and make them do shit for us.
I think
we
should start.
We can make them
that.
Our slaves.
Let's have an open mic where we... You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start giving guys feature work, but they don't have to fuck me, but they have to clean my apartment.
Exactly.
Yeah, they have to clean my apartment. And they have
nothing wrong with that.
I think that's fair. It's just like guys in New York that have to go out on the street and bark to get audience members to come into the comedy club for stage time. I'm just going to make my guys, I won't sexually harass them. I just want to demean them. I just want them to come over and clean my apartment.
Call them names while they're on their all fours. You missed a spot.
Why did this get so, I turned
just
this mean.
Just humiliate them.
Yeah, I like that idea.
No, I know people are going to complain. Somebody emailed me. They were like, can you stop talking about how attractive you are? Like, we get it. I don't even bring it up. Other people always bring it up. Like,
you never said you're attractive. You actually said you were an ugly teenager like four times.
I know.
Yeah.
Right? But it's other people who say that I'm attractive. I still don't believe it, which is why I need to post those pictures
yes.
for the validation, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, if we knew we were hot, we wouldn't have to post our asses on Instagram. I get the same thing sometimes. It's like, I don't think that I'm hot, but
right.
people
like,
leave
you
comments.
You wouldn't date yourself. Like, if you were into girls, like, your type would probably not be your type.
Well, I wouldn't date me because I know how psycho I am, so that's a whole other
thing. But just physically.
No.
Because, like, you're so used to yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be like,
I'm too veiny.
Let me go, like, your veins show?
Like, yeah, like, I think I have, like, guy veins.
Where?
Like, my arms and stuff. Look, I have big veins.
Oh, wow.
I'm getting
so gross.
I'm getting
Quigley.
By the way, it's so funny what girls notice. Like, no guy ever would be like, I was about to fuck that chick, but then her veins, though.
I didn't notice your veins.
Thank you. Well, yeah. It depends on how cut I am. I'm a little big right now. I've actually been trying to gain weight, which sounds like such a douchey thing to say, but I lost so much weight for the shoot a little while back, and then I've been trying to gain weight back ever since.
How did you lose that weight?
I started to not eat carbs, not eat late at night, and I just worked out like twice a day.
I eat rice like twice a day.
Really?
I guess that's carbs, right?
I think Asian people magically digest rice in a way that white people can't.
Well, we've been eating it for centuries.
Maybe that's why.
It's just natural for us to eat it.
Because you just can eat so much rice and still be small.
And our poops are the size of rice pebbles.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Do Asians have tiny poop? Do you keep photos of it?
No, I should.
Are you like Red Band's girlfriend? Red Band's girlfriend sends him photos of her poops.
Oh, does she?
Yeah. I'm like, that's the fucking weirdest shit I've ever heard about. Like, she doesn't send him like nude, she sent him poop photos. I don't ever want to see a photo of anyone's poop, and I don't even want to see my own poop.
Oh, come on. You don't look at your bowl?
Yeah, I look, but I mean, it's not like I want to look. I'm not excited to look.
Yeah.
You know, I don't enjoy the sight of it.
I look. Like, as soon as I lay one down, I turn around, like, extremely quickly.
But you just said they're like rabbit pellets.
They're not. They're all different variety. Like, it's amazing the variety that comes out of my butthole.
It depends on what you're eating.
Yeah.
When you eat a lot of rice, it probably gets a little fibrous.
Well, sometimes I just have that one giant one, and then sometimes just, like, these little guys just scurry out, and they're curled and everything.
Wow. They're like,
what are your poops
like? Cheetos, like hot Cheetos, little curly, like fingers. Yeah. It really depends on how much anxiety medication I've been taking.
Do you take anxiety medication?
Well, it's herbal.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have this powder called Natural Calm. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
So I was like dealing with a lot of anxiety for a little while. And then my friend Jen was like, you got to buy this stuff. It's called Natural Calm. And what it is, it's like magnesium citrate, but it's in like powder form.
Uh-huh.
And you put it in water, you stir it up and you drink it, and it's supposed to calm you down. But that's also what they give you if you're having a colonoscopy. They make you drink magnesium citrate to clean you out.
Mm-hmm.
So in a small dose, though, it's supposed to make you calm. Well, it does. But it also, when I get really stressed out, sometimes I double up or triple up on the amount you're supposed to put in your water.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So
and
then
shit everything out.
It cleaned you out. But if you ever need to be small for like a photo shoot, you take that. That shit will.
Like the same day or the day before?
Day or two before, maybe like 2 days before. But I think I was taking so much because then I started to realize that it did that and it made me really skinny. So then I started taking so much that my shit was like pee. All the time. And my skin color was off. Like, I think I wasn't absorbing any nutrients anymore from the food. I think it was just... So I had to slow it down. And I shit my pants.
It's almost a form of bulimia. Without throwing up.
You're right.
You're shitting it out.
Wow, I never thought of it that way. You know? But what a great loophole in the puking process.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't want to puke. I would much rather poop it out.
Yeah, you're right. Wow, Natural Calm is definitely not going to sponsor my podcast now. No, but it's funny because one time I took too much and then I pooped my pants at a comedy club. Like right before I went on stage. I had to go on stage with poopy pants.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was a bad day. And then I had to judge a costume contest.
Could people tell that you stunk?
It was actually, I kept thinking like they must smell it, but they probably just think someone's farting. I mean, it was the most awkward set because I remember the whole time I was headlining. So it's up for 45 minutes. I remember the whole time I was on stage trying to stay near the back of the stage so no one would smell it.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? Or like sit on the stool. Like I was like, if I sit down more, it'll be like trapped. I mean, it was only a little bit because it happened, and then I had like 30 seconds to run to the bathroom and like try to clean up real fast. I could hear the guy doing his closer, the feature, so I knew I was about time. So I tried to clean up real quick, but it was a mess. And then I was wearing a long shirt. It dipped in the toilet bowls, and the back of my shirt got...
That's awful.
It was disgusting. And then I had to go on stage like that. So then for a while after, I cut down on the anxiety powder.
My God.
But let me tell you, I was very calm that day.
Really?
It was a calm day.
I guess that's why I like pooping. It makes me calm too.
Yeah, because you're shitting out all the toxins and stuff from your body. It's so good.
All the caffeine, it's the best. And all the like nervous energy that food you know, these processed foods give you.
Exactly. I think it's great. And also, I'm weird too. Like, I don't like to poop on days I'm going to have sex, because I want to make sure that my butthole is like super clean. So if I know I'm going to have sex, then I don't eat that day so that I won't poop. Like, I'm crazy, dude. I'm so psycho. I keep my poop super regulated.
Oh, wow. I like to poo like everywhere I go.
What?
Yeah.
I can't.
I have the ability. Like, I've, you know, there are people who can't. Like
people who can cry on cue, you can poop on cue.
I can cry anywhere too.
Do you have poop on cue on your resume? Because you should.
I should. You're like,
poop on demand.
I missed that one. I have rollerblading, taekwondo, and ping pong. What was I thinking?
Wow. That's hilarious.
Oh my God.
I love that you have ping pong.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so that's, but no, I've never actually been able to poop well in public places. Really, truly. I have to, if
like
I don't
at
poop
at airports, you don't poop?
No, never. If I don't poop in the morning, I usually don't poop all day.
Wow.
So I gotta, in fact, that's why sometimes when I'm on the road, I won't go for a few days, because if I'm like, if I have to get up and go do radio or do something early in the morning and then I'm busy most of the day, then a lot of times I can't. It's just weird. My body won't go after morning.
Wow.
I don't know. I saw an episode of Oprah about that. People who can't poop after like a certain time of day. Like, it's a psychological thing.
I guess I'm just so talented that I can just poop. Like, I could just drop.
Pretty jealous.
You know, drop my shorts and go.
I'll bet if you told Harvey Weinstein that, he'd get so hard. He'd be like, you can poop on demand. Get in my bathroom. I'm going to take off my bathrobe and jerk off in the bathtub while you poop.
Oh my God. You know, we are Midwestern girls with integrity.
I think so.
I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
And our careers would be like further along if we didn't have so much fucking stupid integrity.
I know. It's so annoying. I've thought that I really have thought that for so long. Because, you know, when my Playboy TV show came out, I had so many guys messaging me like, why don't you webcam, or I'll send you. I had a guy offer me $10,000 to make him like a private video. Like, I've had so many offers that, you know, it's like, I can't even afford to buy a new car right now, but I won't like sell naked photos. It's just, there's some, and I don't know if it's integrity. I think for me, what it is like, we're comedians. We put so much of our personal lives out already. Everything is public. We're talking about our shit right now. Like, we're so public that I feel the only thing that I keep private is sex and nudity. Yeah. So I don't want to give it away to somebody for no good reason, but I do think an Oscar is a good reason.
Oh. I'm just waiting to release mine till I have something bigger to promote.
Honestly, I mean, the truth is, we're acting like we have so much integrity. It's not like Harvey Weinstein offered me a role.
No.
Like, no one's. Bill Cosby never tried to fuck me. Like,
he never gave me a scholarship to his acting class. His jello making workshop.
I'm available for the next major studio executive.
No, you know what it is? It's like, we want to think that we're special, that we're not like these other whores in Hollywood, and we do it to make ourselves feel better. We're here for a reason.
Yeah.
I'm here really pursuing my career, and I'm a serious comedian.
I'm going to make it on Talent.
Yeah.
That's what we think.
I'm like, how stupid are we?
We're idiots. Look how many people in this town have like huge careers and no talent. Look at the Kardashians. Fucking Kim Kardashian is worth more money. Like, what has she done? Nothing. If you made a sex tape, you and I should make a sex tape.
Yeah, I saw her sex
tape.
We
need one more person. We need one more famous guys. Guys who are listening.
We need a penis.
We need a famous dick who's desperate.
Who could that be?
Who could we use? Let's brainstorm this. Guys, tweet at us.
It could be like Pee Wee Herman.
Oh, ooh.
Should we do a threesome with Pee Wee?
Do you think that would go anywhere? I'm not sure anyone would see that.
Doesn't he have a show somewhere?
I'm not sure.
Okay, who would be the ideal person to run into next?
I actually love the idea of Pee Wee Herman so much.
You know, because he was masturbating in a movie theater.
In character, though, not Paul Reubens. Pee Wee Herman. Oh, yeah. We want to fuck Pee Wee Herman.
Hey, we'll fuck anybody in a Pee Wee Herman costume on Halloween, okay? Like, at this point, we've fucked up our career so bad. from I'm our own you. Ignorance I'm and stupidity.
We're idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's a great idea, actually. What about Steve Urkel? I know him. Jaleel White.
Oh, the
actor? He might be useful.
What is he doing?
Acting stuff, I think, maybe. But what if we fucked him as Urkel?
Yeah.
I could hit him up.
Let's do that.
I bet he'd do it. I'm speaking for him. I bet he'd do it. Jaleel, if you're listening, I was going to get him on my podcast, actually. We'll do another episode where we'll have Jaleel on, see if he'd be down for an Urkel fuck.
Let's do it.
I also know Mr. Belding. He was just on my podcast. There are so many options.
Mr. Belding, I met because my college agent was repping the both of us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I met him at NACA.
He's a sweetheart. I really like him. I wouldn't be able to fuck him. I like him as a person.
Yeah.
Not that I don't like you, Jaleel, but I just feel like that's better, too.
He did massage my back.
Clitoris?
What? No. My shoulders.
What if we fucked Jaleel? I think that actually the Urkel idea is the best because it's like, also it's like the racial rainbow. We've got an Asian, mm-hmm. a blonde, a black
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, we need more diversity in Hollywood porn.
Yeah. In Hollywood sex tape. And then just to add some flavor to it, we find like one rich Jewish executive.
We don't want like an actor. We want like a higher up guy.
What if we could find a woman with a company like Penny Marshall?
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck her. This has been really fruitful, I think.
Oh, my God.
I think this has gone really well for us. I'd like to cut out the middle part where I got dark and mean. But, you know, it happens.
Listen.
I'm out of Adderall. I can't focus for an hour. If someone could send me Adderall also. I'll fuck you for Adderall. Let me make a list of things I'll fuck
you
for.
You know
what?
Burritos, the problem is Adderall. That these meetings take place during the daytime hours when women have integrity. If meetings took place at 8 p.m., 9 p.m.
Stop giving them ideas, Esther.
Then that time it's like, oh, if you haven't been hit on all day and then you walk into this meeting and this executive's like, hey, how about a drink? You'd be like, okay, I'm down.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I think you're on to something. I think I'm going to tell my management to only book me meetings now at bars after 9 p.m. The next time someone calls.
I don't, you know, it's hard to kill at a meeting in the morning.
Actually, it really is. I don't really do my best work until after happy hour.
I mean, I've done it and like, I've done radio at 7 in the morning.
Ugh,
and
I'm
been
never
funny,
good. I'm never good. I'm terrible.
It's better in the afternoon.
I agree.
When
no one's listening.
You know, we're already kind of a little libated up.
I think you're right. Afternoon meetings are the way to go.
All right, future executives. Now you know what to do.
I know. This is the new Hollywood. This is what we want. Nighttime meetings.
We're already too old. They're like, okay, we'll try this on the 20-year-olds.
Also, if you could just be more clear about your sexual harassment, that would also help. Like, instead of being vague and being like, hey, that was a great meeting. We should get a drink sometime. Just say, hey, if you fuck me, I will give you this movie
role.
Right,
just detail in an email with bullet points. Like, I'm going to jerk off. You're going to jerk off. And
you're going to be in Silver Linings Playbook.
You don't have to touch me. I don't have to touch you. You just want to.
I totally agree. If it's just because sometimes the reason we're not sure is because we go, ugh, what if I go to drinks with him, you know, and then he's annoying or he really likes me and he never offers me work. Then are we dating? Then am I going to have to turn down work when I start fucking him? Because it seems like that's why I'm fucking him. If you're just clear, hey, look. Yeah. Here's the deal. I jerk off in a plant. You get a movie role. Or at least, you know, the guy, like the girls he paid out. I'd be happy to be paid out.
Dude, how much did they get paid?
They got paid lots. I mean, these Harvey Weinstein.
I mean, like what level of harassment did they deal with
to get
paid? I
will watch you jerk off for a Toyota Corolla. Like, I don't even need,
you know?
I don't need a lot of money.
I mean, in the grand scheme of sexual harassment, it wasn't that big of a deal.
That's the problem. Like, there was.
It's like first world Hollywood problems.
Yeah, I read a lot. Because I really, before I started tweeting jokes about it, honestly, I really.
You edumacated yourself.
I did. Because I wanted to make sure, like, he didn't forcibly assault anyone.
Rape a girl.
Yeah. And, like, the only thing I could find is that he kind of put his hand. One girl said. He grabbed my boobs and put his hand up my skirt or something. There was one girl that I saw that said that. And then, you know, he paid her out. But that girl was like an intern or something. I'm not saying that's okay, but I mean like
she doesn't even have an IMDb page.
I'm not saying it's okay, but all I'm saying is like we don't know. I mean, Harvey Weinstein's worked with how many women? If only one is saying he touched me without my consent, I would say maybe that was a one-off. Maybe she, who knows? We don't know. Why was she sitting close enough for him to get his hands up her skirt? I mean, I don't know the details is all I'm saying.
Right.
But everything else I read was him saying, hey, can I have this meeting with you naked? Hey, can we have this meeting in my hotel
room? In a bikini.
I mean, you know, it's like, well, no, he was asking to be naked. It's just what he did is not okay, but I didn't see anything like where he raped someone.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like he did what every fucking guy in this town does. He did it on another level.
And it's hard not to like sympathize with a fellow sex addict because it sounds like he's a sex addict, you know? So it's like if I was a dude, I would totally do the same. Like, it's not that bad.
No, it's here's the problem, though. It is bad because it puts us in an awkward position over and over and over again. But I see what you're saying. It's like, and maybe it's because we're comics and maybe it's because we hang out with guys too much. But to me, it's like, look, it's like I'm buddies with this football player, Zeke Elliott, who's been in so much trouble, you know, because he was on a rooftop and he like pulled this chick's top off and exposed one of her breasts at a party. And it was like this huge controversy. And then in my head, I'm like, you know, they were fucking. I've been at parties with guys I'm fucking where maybe we get drunk and maybe as a joke, the guy like would pull my skirt up and flash my ass at everyone.
Right.
And I would never be like, how dare you? Like, I would blow it off. Like, oh, it sucks, but everyone's seen, you know what I mean? It's like, so maybe I'm too, maybe we're too chill.
Maybe I got new Instagram followers.
Like, maybe you and I are too chill.
No, the problem is that we've dealt with so much sexual harassment.
That's what it is. We don't even, it doesn't faze us anymore.
It's like, that's we're how insulted. You get to feature for somebody.
I mean, this is the thing. I will say this. I have never, ever fucked a comic who gave me feature work. I've fucked plenty of comics who have not given me feature work, and fuck you guys. But no, I've fucked plenty of comics. I've fucked a couple comics who I never worked with because I didn't want people to think that was why I was fucking them. So I wouldn't work with
them. That's why I didn't fuck comics, because I didn't want people to say, oh, she only got that because she fucked him.
Exactly. But then sometimes I look back and go, I should have just taken the work from that guy, you know, when I was fucking him, because I didn't, but people thought I did anyway.
We're idiots.
It's like Chelsea, you know? I was just having this conversation with another comic, and he was like, well, Chelsea fucked that guy to get her show, and I was defending her like, you don't know that. Maybe she liked the guy.
And no, and she did like him, because I read her book, and she's hilarious.
Yeah, but the thing is, even if, let's say she was in love with him, and let's say she was like, you know what? I'm not going to let you give me a TV show because everyone's going to think that's why I'm fucking you. She'd be a fucking idiot. So she got a TV show. So then everyone's like, that's why she fucked him. We don't really know why she fucked him. But at the end of the day, imagine how dumb she'd be if she never took the show.
Her show was good. If it sucked, it wouldn't have lasted on the air.
Correct.
So whatever. But also as women, like I have a friend of mine, she told me that when she was 22, she worked at Bed Bath & Beyond. There was this old creepy guy who grabbed her boobs one day, like in the break room, and just like assaulted her.
Ugh.
Right? And when that was happening, this other woman was like, you knew that he was going to do that.
What?
And she goes, you know what? And I did know, because every time he like guys don't just try the first, like,
correct.
That's not
they
the first
yes.
thing that they go for. They
totally
test the waters.
Yep.
So she says, you know what? He put his hand on my shoulder and I didn't like brush it off.
You're right.
And guys do that. They try little things like that to see how you would react. And so it's up to us. And we are like the super dorky Midwesterners, clarinet players, who are like, yo, get your arm off my shoulder. Like, before they even,
you're right.
You email them,
you're
like,
right.
No, you're not going to get
yeah.
in my pants.
You're right. You're totally right. I mean, you do see it coming. And
yeah.
That's the thing, though, is like, you do have to walk a fine line as a woman, because you don't want to burn a bridge. So you kind of have to flirt enough to not offend them, even if you're not interested. But at the end of the day, it's like this. We can either use the power we have and flirt with them enough to get gigs, or we can do what I did and stiff arm them and not get gigs.
We could just also start wearing pantsuits everywhere.
Or just not wear underwear and make sure they know.
It's like
the girl, I never wear underwear. It's, guys, like, right.
It's like the girl who like everybody told her like in school, like, hey, you know, all the boys like look at you underneath because they can see your underwear. She goes, that's why I stopped wearing underwear.
Yeah, exactly. I used to do a joke about that. Like, no one who is out of the house without underwear forgot to put on underwear.
Yeah.
It's a conscious choice. I don't wear a bra very often because I just don't like bras. And I notice the difference when I don't wear a bra.
Guys
get more stuff. Yes. And like, so then in my mind, it's like, I'm not an idiot.
Like, I don't have to pay for my boba tea when I don't wear a bra. It's amazing.
Listen, guys, coffee bean adds up. And,
all right, cool. Well, thanks so much for doing my podcast.
Dude, this was so awesome. I love you so much.
I love you.
Yeah. And you guys follow me at KateQFunny and check out Date Fails on iTunes, SoundCloud, blah, 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 blah.
Check out my new sketch show, Sorry Not Sorry, on go90.com. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.